So one of the major yesodos that we always say is that we live with a parsha, which means that every parshas haShavua, whenever we go around the Magal Hashana, whenever we go around the annual cycle of parshias, if we arrive at a parsha this week, then it's not by chance, it's not a coincidence. There's a very good reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged with his infinite wisdom that we should be at a certain parsha at a certain time in our life. And with that as a hakdama, I wanted to perhaps find something, a nugget, a golden nugget in this week's parsha that can really shed some light on what we're going through in our tkufa, bizmanenu, this difficult and trying time that we have, this magefa, this terrible pandemic which is spreading around the world, and that every country in the world, whether it's Russia, whether it's America, or it's Israel, Europe, Africa, Asia, everybody is on lockdown, something very peculiar that we don't find, in human history, perhaps this never occurred. And so we're grappling for answers, we're looking for ways of understanding the Ashkachas Hashem Ba'olam, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing here? And that's a very difficult question. Whenever somebody asks what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention is, so if we had Nevi'im, we would be able to go to them and answer, to get an answer. If we'd have the Urim V'Tumim, we'd be able to get an answer. Perhaps Gedolei Yisrael are equipped to give that answer, but we are in the darkness. We don't understand exactly what's going on. We are just small human beings that are trying to live our lives with the right hashkafas ha-Torah and trying to come to terms with what we're going through. And so we look to the parsha for some answers as to what we're going to be able to do in order to figure out a path through this forest that we're in. So I was looking in the parsha and trying to find that answer, and I stumbled across a beautiful, beautiful yesod from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the great father of the Musar movement. In the year 1848, there was a pandemic in Europe. It was called, in Hebrew, we call it the cholera, which could be translated as the really evil disease. But in English, I believe the way that it's pronounced is cholera. And cholera was a plague that was devastating in Europe. Thousands, hundreds of thousands perhaps were killed as a result of this pandemic, this epidemic. And the Jews were going through a very, very hard time. The whole world was going through a hard time, but the Jewish communities especially were suffering, and there was famine and there was illness, and very, very similar in certain ways to what we're going through. It was very contagious and it was a very big pachad. Many people were dying, Jews were dying. And I guess it was towards either the beginning or the end of this plague when Jews were still davening in shul together. And just as a famous, this isn't exactly the part that I wanted to share with you, but just historically, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter famously on the night of Yom Kippur during this epidemic, when Jews were very, very sick, very ill, and they could not afford to fast on that Yom Kippur, but yet many, of course, wanted to, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter got up in a shul that he was not the rav of, and I don't know if he got even permission to do this, but he felt that this was important, and kol nidre night, after Ma'ariv, when everybody was about to go home and go to sleep and come back the next day for the Yom Kippur morning davening, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter did something very surprising in that he went up to the Amud, to the where the rabbi, the pulpit where the rabbi speaks from. He took a becher filled with wine, and he took some mezainas, he had some cake, and he basically made kiddush with the Yom Kippur Nusach. You know, we don't ever, Baruch Hashem, hopefully none of us have ever made Kiddush with the Yom Kippur Nusach, because who eats on Yom Kippur? They need to make Kiddush. But Chaylim, when they eat on Yom Kippur, there is a special Kiddush. They have to make Kiddush, and they have to bench, and that's all part of the Avayda of a Chayla on Yom Kippur. He also has an Avayda on Yom Kippur, and that's his mitzvah. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter got up, and everybody's jaw was dropping. Obviously, this is Yom Kippur night. This is a night that is, if you eat, it's kares. If you eat in an inappropriate way, and here Rabbi Yisrael Salanter gets up, and he makes kiddush in front of the entire shul, maybe hundreds of people there and there with their machzeirim and sitting or standing solemnly, and he says the kiddush. He eats mezainis in front of everybody, and then he's mitzava everybody. He commands everybody in that sibur and everyone else in the city of Vilna, the large Ir Vayim Yisrael, he's commanding everybody to go home and to make kiddush for themselves and their families, and to eat and to drink and to be healthy. He says, we are being machmir this year on Pikuach Nefashis in Vilna. This is the time of our lives that we have to make the exceptions to the rules. And although every year, of course, you have to fast on Yom Kippur, but this year our mitzvah is not to fast, our mitzvah is to eat. And this created, obviously, a very big brouhaha in the shul that he was in and in the city that he was in. There's a lot of historical documents that are written about the aftermath of this decision of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, very controversial, but he was doing this in order to save the lives of the people of Vilna. This is just something I think it's instructive to keep in mind when you find that there are these, nowadays we're living in times that the Rabbanim and the Paiskim and the doctors are all telling us to not daven in porch minyanim, in basement minyanim, in backyard minyanim, and people think that they're being very frum by outsmarting them and making minyanim, and we're all dying to, you know, to hear Amin Yeshmei Rabba and a Kaddish and a Baruch Hu and a Chazar Sashatz and a Kiddush. Everybody wants to do that. Nobody's looking to avoid that. I don't think anyone is happy to be davening b'yachidus these days. But if this is what our mitzvah is, if our mitzvah is to daven b'yachidus, then that's, we should be doing that and doing it b'simcha, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what exactly the Eibishter wants us to do right now. If Rabbi Yisrael Salanter makes kiddush in his shul on Yom Kippur night during an epidemic, then we should be able to daven b'yachidus during an epidemic and not feel that we have to out from anybody. That epidemic in 1848, that cholera epidemic, brought about many people, as are coming out today, these days, in our epidemic. The world doesn't really change. History, it said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. It basically, it's constant. There's a constant chorus throughout history. Things that happened 150 years ago are happening exactly the same way today. And just like today, there are people that are trying, scratching their heads, trying to figure out, why is this happening? I know why we're not davening in a shul, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry with the fact that we're talking and davening, or we have, we don't, our houses are too fancy, our kitchens are too nice, and the shul's kitchen is not. Everybody has their own tira as to what's wrong with Klal Yisrael, what's wrong with the shuls, what's wrong with the yeshivas, what's wrong with the Beis Yaakovs, what's wrong with women, what's wrong with children, what's wrong. Everybody has their own taira and their own theories. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this terrible gezeira against us? And like now, this was ancient history. People always did this. Every time there was a magefa in Klal Yisrael, people were pointing fingers at other people. I know why this is happening. It's because these people are too modern, or these people are too frum, or these people are acting inappropriately in shul, or they're not sneistic, or everybody has taira about other people not doing the right thing, which is causing our boat to sink. And somebody came to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and he said, I think I know why this cholera epidemic is spreading throughout Europe and the Jewish communities are getting decimated by it. I think it's because of this particular reason. I don't know what the reason was, but it was some Lashon Hara that was basically said against Klal Yisrael, that he felt that this is what needed a tikkun, this is what needed correction, and until this correction is done, we're not going to be able to get out of this epidemic. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, with his compassion, but yet with his strength, looks at this Yid in the eye and says, Rabbi Yid, I want you to know something. There's a pasuk in Parshas Tazria, this week's parasha, and the pasuk says, if you want to look it up, it's in Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Mem Vav. The pasuk says, "Kol yimei hanega bay yitma tamehu." As long as the tsaru, as long as the mitzayra has the nega, he's tame. He's officially tame. Badad yeshev michutz lamachen ha-meshavay. And he has to, in order to be misaken what he did wrong, in order to get rid of the nega, you don't have to go to a drugstore and get some antibiotics or get some vaccines. The way to get rid of the nega is you go out of the machane, michutz lamachen ha-meshavay. You have to dwell outside of the machane Yisrael, meaning you have to go into isolation. You can't even be together with other mitzayram, meaning there might be 20, 30, 100 different mitzayras sitting outside the machane. Don't go with them. You have to go and sit together with yourself. Badad yeshev, you have to be in bididut, you have to be in isolation. Michutz ha-machane meshava, you have to go outside of the machane. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says like this: what's the reason why a mitzayra gets tsaras? So the truth is that there's a lot of reasons that are given in the Gemara in Erechin, but the most famous reason that we all know for why tsaras comes on a person is because of Lashon Hara. Every school child knows that Lashon Hara is the reason for tsaras. In fact, the Gemara says, Zeis Tyra Hamitzaira is a conjunction of three words. Zeis Tyras Hamitzi Shemra. Mitzi Shemra. Mitzaira is related to the words Mitzi Shemra, because Mitzi Shemra is really like a form of Lashon Hara, and that's what causes Saras to come. What is the reason, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, behind a person speaking Lashon Hara? Why is it such a taiva for us to speak Lashon Hara? Why is it so popular to go and speak Lashon Hara? Everybody's into it. Everybody's obviously, it's a very big Aveira and a very widespread Aveira. Otherwise, the Chafetz Chaim would not have made such an international campaign against it. He wouldn't have written his svarim. The Torah would not have given us so many assays and lavin against it. And we know that it's a very easy thing to slip up in. Why do people speak Lashon Hara? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says that the lumdus behind Lashon Hara, what drives a person to speak Lashon Hara, is basically that he's looking at Yenim and saying that he has it wrong. Meaning, when I'm speaking Lashon Hara, think about what you're doing. What I'm doing when I'm speaking Lashon Hara is the assumption is that I'm perfect. I'm fine, nothing wrong with me. Can't find anything wrong with what I do. My mitzvahs are perfect, my averus are perfect, are non-existent, but everybody else is an avarian. Otherwise, how would I have the chutzpah to speak Lashon Hara? I can go and say that Pliny is a ganef and I'm so pure. I could say Pliny he talks during davening and I never speak during davening. Pliny is mevatel Torah and I'm not mevatel Torah. So the assumption that what's really bad about the psyche of a malshin, of somebody that speaks Lashon Hara, is that he's basically saying that he's okay. Shalom alei nafshi, my nefesh is perfect, I'm good. But that guy is not good. That guy he's too modern, he's too frum, he doesn't care about people. She's not a nice person. She's disgusting to me. She's this and she's that. And this yeshiva is for the birds, and this city is for the birds, and that segment of Klal Yisrael are creating a very big a very big Chilul Hashem. We're always looking at other people, other groups, and casting blame on them. But on me, I'm fine. I'm Baruch Hashem. I got it just right. You know, it's like when people say, he's normal, or she's normal. Who's judging who's normal? By whose measuring stick do we decide normalcy? What's normal to me is not normal to somebody else. So I'm saying, he or she is very, very normal. Who says? Maybe I'm crazy. So who says that? Who are we judging by? If I say somebody's too from, or I say somebody's too modern, who am I to say somebody else is too modern? A Satmar Chassid looks at me like a Sheketz, right? He thinks that I'm too modern. So who am I? I'm saying that somebody else is modern? I'm saying that somebody else is from, too from. What do you mean? A person that's modern thinks I'm too from. Who knows who's really modern, who's from, who's yeshivish? I think I'm yeshivish, right? But if I go to a guy in Lakewood or Ponovitch, he looks at me like a bum. So where do I have the ability? How do I have the ability to say about somebody else that he's not good or she's not good? That's assuming that I'm perfect, and that's so wrong. That's so false. So you know what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says? Stop speaking Lashon Hara about Yemen. Stop saying that the Magefa, the Chaylera, came about as a result of this part of Klal Yisrael, that part of Klal Yisrael, this Aveira, that Aveira. That's not acceptable behavior. You know what the Torah says? If you have this Magefa, if you have this terrible disease called Lashon Hara, which causes your tzaras to be spreading around your body and your house, and your begadim, you know what you're supposed to do? Don't look at other people. Stop blaming other people. Look inward. Badad yeshev. Go outside in isolation. Go into quarantine. Michutz l'machane meshavay. Go outside of the community. Stop looking at everybody else. Take your glasses off and look internally. Look in a mirror and see exactly what you're doing wrong. And when you figure that one out, then perhaps you can be able to be healed from the magefa of tzaras, because tzaras is not Yenim's fault. Tzaras is Lashon Hara, which comes about because you're looking too much at Yenim and blaming him and talking about him. And as soon as that stops and you start looking internally at your own problems, then we can start fixing the problem. This is what Rissel Salanter says. You want to fix this magefa? Stop casting blame. You're casting blame on Klal Yisrael. Your Lashon Hara against segments or individuals in Klal Yisrael is exactly what's exacerbating and metastasizing the magefa in Klal Yisrael. When you have a magefa, when you have a tzaras, the best thing to do is go into isolation, go into quarantine, go into bididuk, and look internally and think just long and hard inside myself, what am I doing wrong? And when I can do that, suddenly the magefa could stop. Because imagine if every yid, instead of looking at Yenim and blaming him and pointing a finger at him or them, he's able to say, I don't know what causes this. I don't know what God has against Klal Yisrael. Maybe he has nothing against Klal Yisrael. Maybe Klal Yisrael are doing just fine. Maybe it's me. And if everyone on this screen, all these boxes in front of me, are able to just work on themselves, including myself, and we could just say, you know what, maybe my davening is not good enough. Forget about Klal Yisrael's davening. Maybe my davening is not good enough. Maybe I don't have the proper kavanah. My learning is not intense enough, or it's not long enough. Maybe I'm being mevatel Torah too much. Maybe I'm not being nice to my family, to my friends. Maybe I'm speaking nivel peh, lashon hara, rechilus. Maybe I've been just in general lax with my Yiras Shamayim and with my Shmiras Einayim. All of the things that only we know these things. These are things that we know ourselves to be true, possibly. But the only way to do that is to sit alone in isolation and think about it, not to look at other people. You know, we have the, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's more a bad thing than a good thing. But we have the ability now that we're all in quarantine and isolation, we have windows to the world, right? We're able to go on our phones or go on our computers and see, or our radios, whatever the case may be, and know whatever is going on in the entire world, in every community in the world. And we have in real time news and pictures and videos and everything of the good, the bad, and the ugly. But that's not really, you know, imagine back in the olden days in 1848 or in the time that the Torah was written, with imagine what that means, bedidos, and that means shutting off everything. Just, there's no, like, imagine being in a room with, like, in solitary confinement in some dungeon of a prison without any ability to look outside. You can't see anything else. You can't be distracted at all. All you have is you and yourself. That's it. And you're just stuck in a room with yourself, and you have time to think long and hard about yourself, not about Yenim. That's what the Torah advises. And if we could shut off our devices for a few minutes a day and just think, what did I do wrong? How could I improve my Avedas Hashem and my Bein Adam L'Chaveira and my Bein Adam L'Atzmai? If a person could do that, that would be a beginning, a very good beginning, and maybe an end to this, to getting rid of this magefa. I saw a beautiful quote. It's going around, I don't know, but a lot of people have their agendas in life, meaning, and they mean well. Sometimes you have people that come to shuls or yeshivas, and their job is to make sure everybody's tefillin is in the right place. You ever see these people? They go from shul to shul, and they make sure your tefillin are hanging over your head too far, they go and they offer very nicely to make it tighter. And, you know, that's one type of person where there's some people have an agenda to write a safer tire for Klal Yisrael, which is spreading around right now. Some people have a different, when I say the word agenda, sometimes that sounds like it has a negative, pejorative type of connotation. I don't mean that, but they mean well. People mean well. People want to do things for Klal Yisrael. They want to make sure that people are eating Chadosh or are Machben on Chadosh, or they're on Yashin, I should say, or they're, Machben on Chal Yisrael, or they're not watching internet, or they're not doing this or that. Everybody has their own thing that they, not everybody, but a lot of people have their agendas for Klal Yisrael, and, you know, they want to start a gemach, or they want to collect tzedakah for certain causes, and they're basically imposing their hashkafah, or their desires to change things for the better on Klal Yisrael, which is good, it's okay, it's fine. So when Reb Shmuel Birnbaum was sitting Shiva for his son, Reb Shmuel Birnbaum was the famous Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir in Brooklyn. He was a living Sefer Torah. He was the tremendous masmid that we spoke about so often. And when Reb Shmuel Birnbaum lost a son, he actually lost more than one son, tragically. When he lost his son, so he was sitting Shiva, and somebody comes in to be Menachem Abel and says to Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, would Rosh Yeshiva, you know, want me to check his mezuzahs? This is a guy who had an agenda, you know, always make sure, you know, he wanted to make sure everybody's mezuzah was kosher. And, you know, that's always the easy answer. You know, check your, if something bad happens, check your mezuzahs. So, and that was his thing. So he wanted to basically go and check him, send him in a nice way, he meant well. Shmuel Berman was suffering from the loss of a beloved son. He was in deep pain. And this yid comes in with his thing, you know, I want to check your mezuzahs. So Reb Shmuel Berman said the following var to him. Please don't use my pain to push your agenda. Don't use my pain to push your agenda, meaning that a person has to be able to be sensitive. Don't look at other people. Reb Shmuel Berman was in pain. He was going through a tremendous tzara, and this guy, he meant well, but he's pushing his agenda on Reb Shmuel Berman at a time of tzara. That's not the right thing to do. A person has to look inward. If that guy wants to check the mezuzah in his own house, gesundheit, go for it. But don't come into somebody else and start pointing fingers and accusing him of not having kosher mezuzahs when he's going through tzaros. That's not what we do. Yidden are not supposed to look at Yenim and say, you have a problem. That's not what we do. We say, we have a problem sometimes, or I have a problem. I'm always makbid personally whenever I give a shmooze. And if I don't say it, explicitly. I think I say it enough throughout the year that everybody understands. When I give a schmooze on a topic, I'm not saying, it's not to imply that I have this right and everybody else needs to improve themselves. I care. I know that everybody that I'm talking to has it right and I need to improve. And I know a lot of people say, I'm just talking to myself and you can listen. That's very cliche, but I really mean it. I'm not giving a schmooze to people feeling that I'm perfect and you're not. I feel you're perfect and I'm not. And I'm just speaking it out for myself. And that's the right way to do things. You don't give mussar to people and criticize them. It never works. But if you're able to work on yourself, and then other people could be inspired by the way you're davening, you're learning, you're behaving, that's the way to do it. I called Rav Aaron Schefter, my Rosh Hashiva, on Erev Pesach to wish him a good Yantiv, as I always try to do. And we were talking about, you know, this tekufa that we're in. And I guess I was in violation maybe of this svar that I was saying, but I asked him, you know, why is this happening? What's going on over here? I wanted to get the Urmitum, I wanted to get the Aspira. Like, what are we doing wrong as a people to deserve this? Like, why is the Rabbeinu Shalom making us have to shutter our shuls and no yeshiva? Like, I was in yeshiva, I got into yeshiva on Tuesday, I think. I got permission to get into the building finally. I needed to get this computer that I'm using and some svarim that I needed for the zman and other things for my office. And I at Mamash had to go through all of the hierarchy of Turo to get Rabbi Bamberger into the building. You'd think that I was mamish like a tzarua v'chol zav v'chol tami lanefesh. In order to get into the building, I had to mamish Jonathan. I had to contact the dean, who had to get permission from the senior vice president of the Torah College to get permission for me to go into the building for an hour. Anyway, so I called, so when I was in the building, I went into the base medrash and I took a picture. I don't know if I would be very good with technology. I guess I'd be able to maybe put up that picture on the screen right now, but I'm not. But it was a picture, and I took a video also of what the yeshiva, what the base medrash looked like on the first day of the zman. It was just such a depressing scene. It was the base medrash. All the lights were off in the base medrash. It was empty. I brought my son with me to help me schlep, but that was it. It was just me and him in an empty base medrash, a dark room. And this is the first day of the zman, which is the day that everybody actually comes to base medrash. And it was a day that is normally pumping, and then the adrenaline is high, and everybody is like the kaltair is at an all-time high. Everyone's by davening and excited, and their kibitz is with the gemara empty. Why not for the shvarchu do this? I asked him, and he said, I don't know the answer. Period. That's it. Not a very inspirational Vart. I'm sure everybody was like hoping that I don't know the answer, but he said, no, I don't know the answer. That's the right answer. That's the perfect answer. We don't know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this. You know, it's like what the Chavetz Chaim used to say about people that say when Mashiach is coming. He says, those that say don't know. And those that know don't say. If there was a person that knows why this is happening, I don't think he would say. And the people that are saying that they know, they don't know. And that's the hashkafa. The hashkafa is that don't speak Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael, what we're doing wrong, we need to stop this and start that. What we have to do is look inward. It's this parsha. The parsha is telling us exactly what we're supposed to be doing. It's very simple. We're in isolation. The Rabbeinu Shalom couldn't make it clearer. The message is not to sit in isolation and figure out campaigns for Klal Yisrael. The message is sit in isolation and think about campaigns for you and me and privately. And when we're able to do that, then we'll realize that maybe it was my fault and not your fault. Or it was your fault and not my fault or something. Each of us have to make our own cheshbon and then be able to come out of isolation whenever this thing ends and have brand new eyes about ourselves and about the world. Meaning, a lot of times we think that Klal Yisrael, has a lot of problems, and you know, we look at some Chilul Hashems that are happening sometimes in the papers and online. We see a lot of things that are very unfortunate. So we think, Klal Yisrael. Maybe it's more important to look inward and see that Klal Yisrael is beautiful, and that we have to earn our place in Klal Yisrael. Maybe I'm the one that doesn't belong in Klal Yisrael, not that Klal Yisrael doesn't belong in me. Klal Yisrael is beautiful. Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Nava, that Klal Yisrael is Shchayra Ani B'Nava. I am Shchayra, but Klal Yisrael is beautiful. B'Nois Yerushalayim. Klal Yisrael is beautiful. If there's a problem, it's me. But Klal Yisrael is perfect. I mean, if you look around at what's going on, in Klal Yisrael today, you'll see great beauty. You'll see the amount of tzedakah that's being given to total strangers. If you go on any of these websites, the quote-unquote from websites, it's all, there's a million pop-up ads or pinned ads as you're scrolling down the screen and looking for news. You'll find that there's a lot of tzedakah campaigns. Who are these tzedakah campaigns for? These are people that nebuch or nifter in the prime of their life from this coronavirus. These are people that were regular, healthy, robust people just a mere few days or weeks ago, and suddenly they're lost. And if you notice, these people that are dying are not regular people. These people have tremendous, tremendous yichas to them. These are people like the Novominsk Rebbe, who was the Reish HaGudas Yisrael, you know, one of the top Rosh Yeshivas in America and one of the great tzaddikim and great Talmid Chacham in the world today. Nifter in the prime of his, I mean, he was 89 years old, but he was still healthy and strong and leading Klal Yisrael and an eloquent spokesperson on behalf of Klal Yisrael, a Mechaber Svarim, a Rosh Yeshiva, a Rebbe, a Chassidish Rebbe. He just collapsed one morning and he was nifter. Within a few hours, he was nifter. And then you have Talmid Chacham in Brooklyn and in Lakewood and in Queens, our own, you know, where the yeshiva is in Flushing and Kew Garden Hills. We lost Rabbi Bloom, Rabbi Matisyahu Bloom, a tremendous Talmid Chacham who I was quite close with, and he davened a lot in the same shul that I davened when I'm not in yeshiva. He wrote Torah L'Das, those newsletters that are in every shul in the world, maybe for 30 years. He's been consistently writing them every single week. He's a tzaddik of a yid. He checked the Erev in Kew Garden Hills every Erev Shabbos for years and years and years. He was, you know, the real deal. Within a few days, he was nifter, leaving over a family of many yisayim and an almana. And the list goes on and on. They had to set up a special website called Kavod Acharon. If you want to look at it, it's heartbreaking. KavodAcharon.com, I think it is. And it's just a list of the people that were nifter from Corona, the from Yidden that were nifter from Corona. And they're being nifter so fast that you don't have the ability to give them the Kavod Acharon that they deserve. These are people like the Novominsk Rebbe. If he would have been nifter in normal times, he would have a levaya of tens of thousands of people easy. And there would be obituaries in every paper, you know, pull-out sections, and he'd be, I mean, he is on the cover of a lot of these newspapers and magazines, but was he given the proper Kavod Acharon? You can't, because as soon as you're absorbing that news, there's another blow, and another blow, and another blow. Another Talmud Chacham, another Balabayas, who was a big Bal Tzedakah, or very big in Gemilas Chesed, and gave money to people, or had a great story, or was involved in Kirov, or a woman that was at Tzadikas. And you know, you can read on and on and on. I think there's like 20 pages in this Kavod Acharon. There's hundreds of people that were nifter, from a Yidden that were nifter, and we're living in terrible times. And a lot of these people that were nifter, leave over five Yisaimim and Yisaimis, or seven, or 10, or 12. And a lot of them are not married, these Yisaimim. They're going to have to pay for all their living expenses and getting them, having bar mitzvahs and having, and paying for chasnas. And who's going to do this? The almana is going to do it. She's barely capable of keeping herself afloat and keeping normal. So Klal Yisrael jumps into the rescue, and they make these charity campaigns, and they make these chesed fund campaigns. And look at what's going on. Just check it out. Hundreds of thousands of dollars for every single person that has a campaign for him or her. Some of them reach up to $1 million. These are not people that are in our community necessarily, or our family members, but people are swiping their credit cards to the tune of $18, $36, $100, $1,000, $5,000, and for total strangers, and not just one, but there's lists and lists and lists of millions of dollars have been raised. Exactly how much, I don't know. I would probably venture to say $10, $20 million over the last month has been raised for just Yisaimim and Almanis alone. Mikam please, Shoveyach Abaris. I'd like to see that in any other community in the world. I'd like to see that in any other country in the world, that you have people that are strangers. I don't know them. It's not like a coworker that we're putting together a few bucks for. These are people that I don't know at all, but I read their story, my heart breaks, and I give to them. Mikam please, Yisrael. Who is like Klal Yisrael? We're greedy people. We're cheap people. There's no people like us. There's no one in the world that could even closely match what we do. You know, there's somebody running for president today who, you know, they have to disclose what their income is on their tax forms. They have to disclose how much charity was given. And his income was, I think, well over $1 million. And the amount of charity that he gave was maybe a few hundred dollars. Out of $1 million of income, he gave a few hundred dollars in charity. It's not miser, it's not a 20th, it's not a 50th. It's nothing. It's mamash prutas. And I don't know if I'm not saying every guy is like this. There are very generous guys in the world as well, I'm sure. But Klal Yisrael is Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is unique in how much they're able to give generously to strangers just because they're Yidden. Hatzalah, we always speak about so fondly. Hatzalah are people that they're always Meiser Nefesh, and they're always Meiser their Shabbos and Yom Tovim to go and to save other people's lives and help them in their time of need at personal cost, not just for themselves, but for their families. Imagine on a Friday night in the winter, and your family wants to spend time with you, and you get a Hatzalah call, and you have no choice but to jump out of your chair and say goodbye and have your wife and your children alone. For who? Not for your mother, not for your father, for a total stranger that you don't know, you never will know, but you're going out for them. Me company, so, and that's in regular times. And now in the time of Corona, you're literally putting your life at risk by possibly being able to catch the virus from total strangers just for the sake of saving somebody else's life. That's an incredible thing. It's a voluntary ambulance service. These are not the paid Fidney ambulances or regular, you know, profiting ambulance companies. This is all free. This is all completely voluntary. They're not getting paid a nickel for it. This is Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is a great people. The amount of tilim that are being said for Yidden all over the world that have the virus, and there is these women's WhatsApp groups, and they're all sharing tilim and going, you know, trying to finish tilim after tilim after tilim. There's a Yid in the five towns, a very chashuv rav, who they're making huge campaigns from, and he was literally at death's door, and I think all of the tilim and all the learning and everything that was done for him, I think literally is bringing him back day by day. He's off a ventilator. His kidneys were not functioning. He was not able to breathe without a ventilator. He was literally, they counted him out. They already wrote him off. And then they made all these tillim, Erev Shabbos tillim, and this tillim, and that tillim. And somebody in Lakewood, I saw sponsored on Erev, on the day of Bedikas Chametz, right before Bedikah, which is always, everyone's going crazy in the house, the women are trying to clean up, and the kids are in the way, and they're eating Chametz, and they made a central depot somewhere in Lakewood. As a schus for this Rav, they gave away, or they some gevir, I guess, sponsored 10,000 hot dogs to be given out to all of the, whoever wanted to come in Lakewood to this central place, that they can eat on Erev Pesach and, you know, stay out of the house and make brachas and bench in the schus of this year. And he's coming back. He's off a ventilator. He came out of the ICU. Now he's in a regular room in the hospital. And there's, the hope is very high that that he's going to completely get out of this, which is a nice nigla. But Mikam Chisrael, is there any other nation in the world that are saying psalms for sick people that they don't know who they are? Just because there's a list of sick people, it doesn't make sense. We're a very unique nation. And as we sit in isolation, we should appreciate how great Klal Yisrael is and how we could possibly earn the title of being a Yid, what we're doing wrong and what we could do better. That's the job of being in isolation. That's perhaps why HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed it exactly the way he did, because he wants us to not blame Klal Yisrael, not figure out what Klal Yisrael was doing that's so terrible that put us into this matzah. He wants us to appreciate Klal Yisrael and at the same time be able to figure out bibididos, in our isolation, exactly what we're doing wrong as individuals. Klal Yisrael is really a nation of individuals, and we can figure out what we personally need to improve. Not in drastic measures. This isn't a Musar Shmuz that we all have to mamish, you know, change and become Rav Aaron Cutler overnight. That's not what we're trying to say here. But make little change, one little change in our life. Daven Psukei D'Zimra. Now we have an opportunity these days to daven Psukei D'Zimra like a mensch. We can't have the excuse, you know, it's too fast, the Shtef Tzibra is going too fast, I can't do it, and it's impossible, this minion is not for me. We don't have anyone to blame. And now we have all the time in the world. We dive in like a mensch. Say brachas with kavana. I'm talking to myself. Say psukah d'zimra with kavana, slowly, with ne'imas, with a little bit of a niggin. We had a halal today. Sing it a little bit with kavana. Tomorrow we'll have another halal. Get close to the Eibishter during this time. Whatever we couldn't do because of the hustle and bustle of our daily lives and our daily schedules, now we have time to chill, to relax a little bit, and to figure out ourselves what we could do as individuals to make ourselves better. You know, we started with Eivart, and one more thing that I saw that Klal Yisrael did amazing on Chalamayed. There are people that care. Like, there are people that care. They understood. You know, we just say, hey, what's going to be Chalamayed? We can't go out. We can't go to Great Adventure. There are people in Klal Yisrael that paid a lot of money. I happen to know who these people are, to send trucks out to different communities to spread simcha to the people in isolation. If you, in Queens, we had one day of Chalamayed, there was a beautiful truck that was going around blasting music. I happened to be in Brooklyn one day of Chalamayed, and I saw a very famous singer on the back of a truck singing. And there were, I think, 5 trucks going around Brooklyn that day. Sponsored was Eicha Nishmas, a chashuva woman, the top singers. It's not cheap to get the top singers to come to your chasma. And that's indoors in a nice place where you get to eat. Imagine how much it costs to sponsor, to pay them to go on a truck in a cold, you know, spring day around Brooklyn or around Muncie. Not cheap. But Klal Yisrael wanted to bring simcha to other people. Yesterday I was in Brooklyn. And you see that I'm really officially obeying this quarantine. But it's all for essential goods, of course, shopping for Shabbos. But we went, and I looked. There was like a big noises coming out of a truck, like music and sound blasting. And I thought, this is strange. It's not Chalamayit anymore. Why are they being Mesameach people here? So it was a Birchas Ilanis truck. There was a truck going around with 2 trees on it, with a bracha that you can make on Birchas Ilanis blazoned on the side of the truck, and there was a voiceover as the truck was gone by with the actual bracha being said, and beautiful, beautiful. Mikam Chai Yisrael, who is Chai Yisrael? Who's like Chai Yisrael that would think to do that? First of all, to think to do that, and then to pay to do it, it's not cheap, and to implement it, to find trees, put them on a truck, who's doing this? Chai Yisrael's doing this. Chai Yisrael's doing this. It's an amazing thing that we are zeichet to be members of this very exclusive club called Chai Yisrael. Don't blame anything on Chai Yisrael, ever. Look at Chai Yisrael with beautiful eyes, and if there is a problem within ourselves, that we have to work on. But don't project our own problems on Klal Yisrael. We might have a problem with talking and davening, but don't make it Klal Yisrael's problem. It's not our business to tar and feather and Uma Shlema. We all are in Bedidos, we're all in isolation. That gives us the opportunity to look at ourselves with new eyes, and with good eyes also, look at ourselves good. We're also amazing people as individuals. But there's always one little thing that maybe we could work on, maybe benching out of a bench, or maybe learning a little more, a little deeper, being ma'abid more on Shmir Seinayim, or being ma'abir Sedra more better with Rashi, whatever it is. Every person has to figure it out for themselves. There's no right answers, there's no wrong answers. It's just us. But yes, you could still make Birchas Ilanus today. But that's what Klal Yisrael is all about. That's what Klal Yisrael is all about. We started with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and we're going to end with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once said the following thing. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was amazing. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said the following thing, and I've said it before, but it's beautiful. Listen to what he said. He says, when I was young, I wanted to change the world. He was very ambitious, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He wanted to change the entire world. And he said, I set out to do just that. I set out to change the world. He says, but I was miserably failing. I was not able to change the world. I tried, I couldn't. I tried to make them more, to learn Musar and to daven better and to learn better. Whatever Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was trying to do, it wasn't flying. No one was buying into it. So he said, maybe I set my goals too high. Maybe the world is too big a place. So I'm going to change my country. My country is doable. I can't change people in other countries, but I can change people in my own country. So he started traveling, and he started giving musish. It wasn't going. Didn't go. He says, you know what? Forget about my country. Country is a big place also. I'm going to change my community, the little community that I lived in, whatever. He lived in a few communities over his life. I don't know exactly when he said this, but whatever community he lived in at the time, I'm going to change my community. That's not hard, right? I there are local shuls, there's local mikvahs, there's shtiva. I could do a lot in my community. I could change things here. It's biyadi. Says, it didn't work. People were not buying what I was doing. They weren't buying what I was selling. He says, you know what? Forget my community. Forget the world. I'll change my family. That's doable. Everybody, thinks that they could tinker with their family. My kid isn't waking up early enough, and my daughter isn't doing this the right way. My wife is not doing that the right way. And, different. I'm going to fix my family. Yeah. And he says, I wasn't able to do that. It was a failure. I failed at every step of the way. And my plan was going down, 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 and it was about to crash and burn. He says, and then you know what I did? I did something very interesting. I said, stop trying to change other people. Stop trying to change other people and change yourself. He says, and that's what I started doing. I started working deeply in myself, within myself, and I started learning Musar more and really taking it in better and absorbing the lessons and looking at myself and with a critical eye and trying to make this better in my life and that better in my life, being a better husband, being a better father, being a better friend, being a better Rav, being a better community member, being a better citizen. I was trying to change myself. And after a long time, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, I finally succeeded. I made myself a changed person. I made myself a better individual, a better yid. And that's not the end of his quote. He says, when I did that, a remarkable thing happened. As soon as I changed myself, suddenly my family began to change. Not because I gave them a Musa Shmuz. I didn't do anything to them anymore. I stopped trying to intervene on what they were doing. I changed myself. But when I changed, it had a ripple effect on my family. My family said, oh, if he's so good, I'm going to be good. If he's davening like a mensch, I'm going to daven like a mensch. If he's spending so much time learning, I'm going to spend so much time learning. If he's doing so much chesed, I'll do chesed. And then you know what happened? Besides his family, it spilled over beyond his family to his community. And his community changed for the better. And then after his community changed for the better, like a tidal wave spreading across all boundaries, his country became better and the world became better. And indeed, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter changed the world. There's no doubt about it that the world is a different place because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter lived here. We're all different. The Musar, the Ashkafa, all of the introspection, the El is different, the year is different, Musar Seder. Everything that we have is from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in this regard. He changed the world, but he didn't change it by criticizing other people. He changed it by beginning with himself and ending with himself and realizing that when we could change personally, then we can change the world. And so that's, I think, a great lesson to take from the parasha. And this, we're living with this parasha. This parasha is living with us. Corona is a lesson in bedidus. We're living in a magefa. We're living in a time perhaps unprecedented in human history in certain ways. And we have to daven like crazy. We have to learn better. We have to get close to Rabbi Yisrael. We have to do tshuva. But keep it a personal endeavor. Don't make it your mission to save Klal Yisrael. Make it your mission to save yourself. And then once you do that, Klal Yisrael will be much, much a better nation, if that's possible, Kabayachal, because we as individuals are better. And that's an opportunity that we have right now. Bedidus, no one knows why we're here or what we're, but this might be a very good lesson to take at least during this interim period until we get back to yeshiva, until we get back to our shuls, until life resumes in Mitzvah Hashem soon, back to normal, that we're able to daven like a mensch. You know, as much as I criticized before people that make these backyard minyanim, and maybe it was a maisa lispar, I shouldn't have said that about people that, you know, that are going against Rabbanim and Paistim, and they shouldn't be doing that. But I want to just say something else. You see a beauty in Klal Yisrael that they're doing that, because what does it mean? Why are they making backyard minyan? When I was in a supermarket the other day, there were two Hasidim that were talking to each other privately, but within an earshot of me. So, and they said, psst, we're making a mincha minyan in the parking lot in 5 minutes. And I was like, you know, I didn't go because I knew that the Rabbanim and the Paiskim say not to, but I was tempted to go. I wanted to hear a Kaddish. Haven't heard a Kaddish in a month. Haven't said Yesh Me Rabba in a month. Haven't said Kiddush in a month. Haven't done with a minyan Tzvil B'Tzibur in a month. I didn't go, but I wanted to go. But that yearning, those gaguim that you didn't have all over the world to make these porch minyanim, to make these backyard minyanim, albeit misguided and something that's usher to do, and there are Pesachim that say the brachas that you make there are brachal of atala because you're not allowed to do it. It's mitzvah there maybe. But after all that is said and done, but still don't look at people negatively. They're misguided, but at least what are they trying to do? Are they trying to, you know, steal food? Are they trying to watch something that's us? They're trying to daven. That's all they want. They want to daven. We all want to daven. Klal Yisrael is a beautiful nation. We have to look at Klal Yisrael with perfect eyes and grow, use this time to grow personally, to find what we need to do, to find our inner gaguim, and to try to work on them, whether it's to daven a little better, to bench a little better, to make brachas a little better. And Asher Yatzar, I think, would be a great, if you're asking, you know, personally some advice from what I'm trying to work on, it's hard. You know, when you come out of the bathroom, you make an Asher Yatzar, right? So we just, in general, when we're busy, we have to go back to shir, we have to go back to class, we have a chavrusa. So I find myself, especially, I'm talking to myself again. You know, what do? You mumble on Asher Yatzer as you're, you know, going from one room to another room, and you have zero kavana. But these are days that you have to appreciate in Asher Yatzer. You know what Asher Yatzer is? After Shvaruch Hu made our bodies function. And you know what a miracle that is, that our bodies are functioning healthy? That Baruch Hashem, all the people here that are on the Zoom class together, we're not hearing it from a hospital bed. We're not on a ventilator. We're not in a respirator. We don't need a catheter inside of us to relieve ourselves. We don't need intravenous feeding. These are times that we have to think about these things. We have the time and we have the inspiration. So let's think about this. Let's use this time wisely to grow from the experience. That's the predicament that we're in. And the Parsha is telling us that stop speaking Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. Stop looking to blame and look inward. And Amit Hashem, if we could do that, then I have no doubt in the world that before you know it, we will be back in our beautiful Beis Medrash on 150th Street, or maybe in Yerushalayim, and we'll be able to learn together Geshmak, and to daven together Geshmak, and to spend Shabbos together Geshmak, and to have Chavrusas, and to have Rabbeim, and to have Tishin, and to have everything, instead of doing it virtually, we'll be able to do it with a reality. So I want to wish everybody a beautiful Shabbos and a great Rish Chaydesh, a Chaydesh Tov, and everybody should stay healthy and safe and strong and gesund. And you should know that I love you and I miss you, and Amit Hashem, we'll meet in person very soon. Have a great Shabbos, a good Chaydesh.
Shabbos.